Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have David Noble in the house here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. David, good to see you. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
So good to be here. I was just listening to that Tim Sheehy audio that you played, and my comment was, man, it is so nice to hear United States Senator after he becomes a sworn-in United States Senator, and he's not up for re-elect for another 6 years, and yet he still sounds the same as when he campaigned. He's still saying the same things, and he's supporting Trump, and he's right on all the policy issues, and he's bringing up the Monroe Doctrine, one of my favorite historical foreign policy doctrines of the United States. I totally agree with Trump and Sheehy on the Monroe Doctrine. I think it's outrageous. The idea that we would be allowing like Russian and Chinese like submarines and ships to be docking in ports in North and South America is ridiculous to me. Those are military operations going on in for example, in Cuba, 100 miles off of our coast. Venezuela, real close to us. Bring back the Monroe Doctrine, retake the Panama Canal, retake Greenland. This is a repossession of the Panama Canal for them breaching the agreement when we gave it to them, and we gave it to Panama. We didn't give it to China, and we told Panama, hey, we're going to give you this. If you ever give it to China, we're going to come take it back. So there's nothing controversial about that.
Not at all. And I forget who it was. If it might have been Mike in Big Timber yesterday, but when we were talking about President Trump talking about renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, okay, I think, I can't remember if it was Mike, maybe it was one of our listeners messaged me. They said, okay, you're calling it the Gulf of America, not the Gulf of the United States of America. We have North America, we have South America, all collectively the Americas, right? Americo Vespucci. So, like, this idea that, oh, this is so offensive, he's renaming the Gulf just for the United States of America. No, it's the Gulf of America, not the Gulf of...
Well, and then Greenland...
The pearl clutching is just out of control.
Well, and then the idea that Greenland belongs to Denmark... That's a colony. That's European colonialism. So now everybody else is defending, oh, yeah, European colonialism is great. No, Europe, you know, Denmark should still have the colony in Greenland. Excuse me?
Yeah, so, oh, it's bad to suggest that Greenland should be a territory of the United States, but they have no problem with Greenland being a territory of Denmark.
Right.
Of some country in Europe.
Right. How much sense does that make?
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's just the pearl clutching is just beyond imaginable right now.
I was at the Yellowstone County Republican Party meeting last night. We had Charlie Loveridge and the other two candidates that are applying for the City Council seat. There's a huge issue going on right now because the mayor may not want to appoint somebody to the vacant Ward 3 seat, which would then trigger a $30,000 plus special election just for that Ward 3 seat. Charlie Loveridge is applying for it.
He'd be a great city council.
And there's two others. Yeah, and there's two others. Both of them are good. I'm drawing a blank on their names. But the point is that City of Billings folks should contact the mayor and ask him to do his job and appoint somebody. Jennifer Owen and Scott Aspenlighter were there last night. They think that we have the votes on the 5-5 city council to get a 6-5 conservative. Of course, we're not looking for partisan conservatives here. We're looking for just good people.
Common sense people on the city council. Yeah, fill the seat. Put somebody good on there. Build a legacy.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies. High temperature readings will stay from the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures will head back down to the mid-teens. Then on Friday, with partial sun and some increasing cloudiness, high temperatures staying back in the mid to upper 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
California is a paradise, except when it's not. The scenes of these wildfires surrounding Los Angeles, 3-4 separate fires converging on the city, taking down all kinds of structures, housing, mass evacuations. I mean, it looks like hell. It is absolutely scary stuff. And these brave firefighters are battling not just the blazes themselves, but, of course, these 100-mile-an-hour winds that are making it impossible and also making it difficult for people to evacuate. Now, there's a challenge here for the media as well as we move into sort of round-the-clock television coverage. I've looked at some of the correspondents who are right near these fires trying to get the best shots, and these fires are moving very, very quickly, so 0% contained. It's an absolutely awful situation, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's getting better soon. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, what do you guys think? Would Montanans welcome Canada as the 51st state of the United States of America? Well, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got your answer. Plus, in the meantime, I wrote my answer. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see it right there. Plus, this is the first time in nearly 130 years that this has happened in Montana. What am I talking about? Well, you can find out. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David and I were talking a little bit more about this. Hey, and by the way, we'll get to your phone calls here later in the hour. We just got to, you know, want to get the conversation up and running here with David Noble for freeing up his time to come join us and all the preparation that's involved. But, hey, you never know what we're going to talk about. But, yeah, so I'm glad you brought up that Billings City Council seat because, like it or not, right now Billings is a blue city. And that's why we've had blue city problems in the largest town in Montana. And so I think the mayor of Billings really has an opportunity now to look at like, hey, what am I doing for the city of Billings? What's my long-term legacy going to be as mayor? Is my legacy going to be, yeah, we got hit with a bunch of gang violence. We got hit with a bunch of Mexican drug cartel activity. Man, we had an opportunity to really do something about it. But man, I didn't want to fill that city council seat with somebody who could hit the ground running and tackle these issues. Somebody like a Charlie Loveridge or maybe one of the others that you got to meet last night. You know, and I think the mayor's got that opportunity right now. Or he could waste a bunch of money on a special election when the regular election is going to be later this year anyway.
Right. The other two candidates, I feel bad I'm drawing a blank on their names, but there's three candidates I think that are going to be putting in for that open Ward 3 seat. One of them is a woman who's got some nonprofit experience, and she spoke last night. She was good. The other one is a guy who's been here about 5 years. He did 30 years in the LAPD. He's basically like, look, I worked my entire life in LAPD for 30 years in the LAPD, and I worked my entire life so I could retire and move to a place like Billings, and I've been here 5 years. I care about this place. This is my retirement. And it's like, you know, that's kind of cool to hear him say that. And it's like, yeah, he was honest. He's like, yeah, I am from LA. I am from California. But look, I love this state, and I got here because I wanted to be here. I've worked my whole life to be here. I want to be a part of this community. I want to make this place better. I was like, great. Any of those three, you know, and it's like with the Billings City Council, you need somebody who's wants to do it, right? I mean, that's part of the thing, and it's not like you're...
Yeah, because it's not, you know, everybody and their mother seemingly wants to run for Congress and be a congressman, you know, and have a flashy title or whatever, but like City Council, that's some real meat and potatoes work, but it's work, and it's not that flashy either. Yeah, the guy that you're referencing, that must be the guy I know, you know, when the Billings police really started getting a handle on the gang violence, they mentioned that this was key. They had a guy that they hired who came from L.A. who had worked the gang issue there, and he started advising them here, saying, hey, here's what you got to do. You got to just be on top of these guys every single second so they know you're watching them. And so, but didn't he also say, you were telling me during the break, that, yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to go retire, have a nice, peaceful, quiet life in Montana. And then he's like, holy crap, Billings is becoming like L.A.
Right. Yeah, in terms of like what the Billings Police Department needs to start doing, he said it's starting to look like we need LAPD, like regiments or whatever you call them, here on the streets of Billings, which is a disappointment. But, you know, Scott Aspenlighter guest hosted your show over yeah. some of the – and those were great shows. And he had Jennifer Owen on as well, and they both talked about a lot of these sort of same, you know, city council issues and things like that. And it's just – it was so – people think, man, some of those Scott Aspenlighter shows were some of the most informative shows because you got people – he had great guests on like Jake Eaton, Jennifer Owen, who – you know, Jennifer, and here's the thing, okay, Jennifer Owen and Scott Aspenlighter are focused on this temporary jail expansion here in Billings so that we can actually arrest people. Right now,
and keep them behind bars.
Right, yeah. I mean, right now we have like 450 beds at the jail, and there's like over 600 people in the jail or something like that. And then we had the county commissioner, new county commissioner Mike Waters was there last night. He was talking about how he'd like to see the state actually reimburse the county for the actual cost of us holding the state prisoners. And to me, that's just like that's ridiculous that we're having to hold state prisoners here in Yellowstone County Detention Center because the state prison is full. And so now, because the state prison is full and the state's having to try to send prisoners to Arizona, and then the state's sending prisoners to Yellowstone County, and then me and you are having to foot the bill for those state prisoners in Yellowstone County. We're not getting reimbursed from the state for the full amount. And then not only is it costing us money, but then it's preventing our police officers from being able to arrest people and hold them overnight. And you talk about, you know, cycles of crime and cycles of violence. A lot of times, if somebody's in the midst of a crisis or a crime spree type of thing, you arrest them and you hold them for one day and you put a stop to the ongoing crime spree type of thing. Whereas now, if they can't do that, the crime spree continues on. And so it's a real big problem.
And likewise, that's a wake-up call for that young man or that young woman. They get arrested. They spend some time. They're like, oh, crap, there's consequences to me doing this stupid stuff. And hopefully they turn their life around and they nip it in the bud early on instead of, nope, they commit more crime and more crime. And before you know it, they're shooting somebody, which is what exactly has happened in places like Billings, Montana. You mentioned this temporary detention facility. It's like this is where if the mayor gets a Charlie Leverage or somebody like that, maybe the police officer guy, get somebody in that position. Now the council can move forward with just common sense people to tackle common sense problems so that we don't become just like a Los Angeles or another one of these blue cities with these blue city council members. And then there'll be an election later this year and the people of Ward 3 can decide who they want to keep in that position or not. But like, let's start tackling these issues instead of just kicking the can down the road, especially given the massive amount of crime that has festered up here in recent years in particular. You mentioned L.A. That could be the woke update of the week. All the DEI garbage in the fire departments back there, they've been getting called out across the board for all their woke DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion stuff. And now they wonder why they've got such a mess on their hands, why they don't have enough water and all these other things.
Oh, I was watching some of the live. I live stream on Twitch and I'll watch some of these live feeds. Hilarious. One of the mainstream media outlets was live streaming. They had a Republican on who said there was no water in the fire hydrants. And the firemen didn't have water. And then the broadcaster comes up. There's no evidence. There's no evidence that they don't have water. And we're going to go to our reporter on the street. Let's go to Jane on the street. Hey, Jane on the street. By the way, the firefighters here just told me they don't have any water.
Fact checked by their own on the ground correspondent.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Post Malone is being praised for delivering a Christmas miracle to a single mom working as a bartender in a local Texas dive bar following his performance in Houston at the Texans game. Malone rolled into the bar alongside Shaboozy, who also performed at the Beyonce halftime show, when he learned his bill had been covered by his crew and some regulars at the bar. Malone had Brene Brown ring him up for any amount so he could leave her a tip. The 36-year-old charged him $1, bringing his total plus tip to $20,001. Realizing that he just gave her a 20 grand tip, the single mom of a 9-year-old immediately broke down crying. She posted a pic of the two of them together on her Instagram, writing, Going into work Christmas Eve, I was so sad I had to leave my baby girl, oblivious that God would send me a Christmas miracle. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This week, potato producers and industry stakeholders are gathered in Orlando, Florida for Potato Expo 2025. And quite a few Montana sweet potato producers from Southwest Montana and Western Montana joining us as well. It's one heck of an event. And I caught up with Cam Quarrel, CEO of the National Potato Council, who hosts the annual event.
The program that has been put together by, you know, everybody, the steering committee, and it's going to be informative. It is going to be, you're going to see everybody who's anybody in the industry is going to be there under one roof. That not just the U.S. industry, it's the entire North American industry. We've got friends from Europe and Asia will be coming in, certainly South America. We're very, very excited about what's coming together. And then not to be missed is we also provide a lot of support for our leadership foundation during the expo. So we'll have the live auction for Potato Leaf. We're going to have a new event this year. We're going to have a fun run early morning on Friday. So everybody who wants to get some exercise and also support leadership, they'll be out there. And I think you'll be out there bright and early, Lane. I can see the look on your face.
I unfortunately was unable to make that fun run this morning. From Orlando, I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's what we need, David Noble. If we're going hiking in the Beartooths or going camping, we need glasses with like the little rear view, side view mirrors on them, right, so we can see if the grizzlies or the other predators are walking right behind us, because it's crazy how many grizzlies are out there. And yet the Biden regime says, no, they're not recovered. We're going to keep them on the endangered species list. I mean, just, again, the continued disastrous decisions that Joe Biden is leaving in his wake here with about 11 days to go.
Yeah, there's some great audio out there of Senator Daines asking some Biden administration official during a Senate hearing, ma'am, what's the target number of grizzly bears in the you know, northern ecosystem or whatever it's called, the Great Northern Ecosystem? And then 400 grizzly bears, Senator. Okay, and how many grizzly bears are there now? And actually, I don't know if she knew the answer. I think she pretended not to know, and Senator Daines had to target. And the answer, 900 grizzly bears are there, and the target's 400. And then the question, okay, ma'am, can you tell me, has the grizzly bear recovered in that ecosystem? Well, we can't say if it's recovered or not quite yet. And it's like, wait, what? There's 900 grizzlies there. There's only supposed to be 400. You can't say it's – now it's like you read the stories about grizzly bears like roaming around the streets of Red Lodge and stuff like that. I go down camping in the Beartooths. I've got my belt on, and I've got the bear spray in my belt like it's holstered. And then it's so much fun, because then my wife gets to call me the sheriff.
I was going to say, you look like Grizzly Adams. You got to stop trimming your beard. You got a nice beard trim going out. You got to let that thing really grow out. Get the Grizzly Adams look going out.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. No, you don't mess around with how many grizzlies are out there going camping. You've got to have your bear spray on your
hip. There was a woman in Yellowstone that got mauled. Eaten alive by one just last year, I think that was. Just
right.
Tragic
so story. Literally, people are getting mauled and killed by grizzlies, and they won't delist them. I mean, it's outrageous. And cows are getting killed all the time by them, too. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour. Predatory policies. They will shove these things on you here in the Rocky Mountain West, just like they shove their predatory policies on the people of L.A. with their bad land management decisions, no water, you name it, let it all spill into the ocean. Man, we got a lot to talk about here with David Noble, but hey, I'm sure you want to jump in on the conversation as well, so you can give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Tim in Billings wants to talk about the overcrowded jails that we were just covering just a few minutes ago. Tim, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. So, you know, you were saying how we've gotten to the point where we won't even charge and prosecute people because, well, it's just the system's overrun. Well, that's kind of the design by people who come up with these policies, isn't it? They don't even want us to have any sort of justice system to take care of the the misdemeanor crimes and stuff like that. There's a very large retailer here in Billings that is employee owned, and they have a lot of goods that almost everybody could enjoy, and they will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law, and by law they are allowed to fine you, to where you have to go in and you have to pay them restitution, and then they can bar you from their stores. That is how every business should be running, because it may be a pain in the ass and it may be a drain in our system, but it should be a pain in the ass and a drain on the lives of the people who are refusing to abide by the social contract, and they're breaking the law.
That's a really good point that you make there, Tim, because if you aren't taken care of in addressing the crime that's happening in your house, then it starts to spill into the streets and spill into everybody else's house, too. Because people start to have this idea that they can just get away with it. Now, great point from Tim in Billings. David Noble, your thoughts?
Well, the unfortunate reality is that it is expensive to build a new jail, and it is expensive to put up this temporary facility. And we've got, you know, part of the problem here, too, and County Commissioner Waters was talking about this a little bit last night at the Republican meeting, too. And I think Scott Aspenlighter and Jake Eaton were talking about this when they guest hosted. But the system is slow in terms of, you know, processing the criminals through the system. And so you can, you know, you arrest them and charge them. But if you can't get a trial and you can't get them prosecuted, you've got problems there. And then you see, you know, it's crime is a big problem in Billings, and it's actually preventing economic development here, because a lot of businesses and people may be reluctant to come here when we've got this reputation for all this crime. But the thing is I'm totally fine with the government performing its core functions. Of course, it would be real nice if the city of Billings could plow the streets of snow. That would be nice. Or if they could pick up our trash in a decent way and not have to cut services constantly and then raise our, you know, rates on, you know. But it's like, if the city of Billings could just focus on trash collection, snow plowing, and putting criminals in jail, that'd be great. And get rid of all the woke art, get rid of all the art installations, get rid of all this other stuff, and go line by line through the Billings of City budget and massively cut all that stuff, so that we actually do have the money to pay for a new jail and to pay for good garbage service and to pay for snow plowing. It's crazy. We can't even snow plow our streets.
And as our listeners in Butte and Great Falls and elsewhere across the state, no, this isn't just a Billings issue. Jails are overcrowded all across the state. And thankfully, the state of Montana, under the governor, they're actually putting people in Arizona or wherever to put them behind bars to ease the situation. And, of course, the Democrats oppose that. A couple of things I want to talk about here, David, and then, whatever you want to talk about as well, of course, here. You mentioned our friend Jake Eaton a couple of times. Jake made a great point. Jake is, of course, an incredible rock star, conservative, political consultant, and more. But, you know, now that there is a changeover in the Chief Justice for the Montana Supreme Court, Corey Swanson elected Chief Justice. So Mike McGrath is on his way out. So, of course, news outlets are doing a profile piece on the outgoing Chief Justice, Mike McGrath. Okay, no problem there. All right, he was a Chief Justice for a long time. So, okay, give him his little farewell adieu news story. But the point that Jake Eaton made here, I think this was a Lee Newspapers article. Jake Eaton says this about Mike McGrath. Remember, Mike McGrath was the Democrat Attorney General before he was the Chief Justice. Corey Swanson, the new Chief Justice, worked for a Republican Attorney General. But he wasn't the elected Republican Attorney General, but he worked for. You can have Democrats or Republicans that work for the Attorney General, whether they're a Democrat or Republican. Jake Eaton made a great point, because apparently there's all these mentions about, oh, Corey Swanson, Republican, Swanson, Republican, Swanson, Republican. But there's no mentions of Mike McGrath being a Democrat. Jake Eaton said this: likely no bigger scumbag in the modern history of Montana politics than McGrath. McGrath has overseen an activist court that has turned Montana's judicial branch into a kangaroo court. I also love that the journalist at Lee went out of his way to not mention that he spent 20 plus years as an elected Democrat. Yeah, it's just kind of par for the course. Well, we're going to call this guy Republican all day long, but we're not going to call that guy a Democrat.
that's like that one rule I have is, okay, if you're reading a story about a politician that's been charged with the crime, or a politician that had to resign, or a politician that's had horrible allegations made against them, if the mainstream media doesn't mention their party, they're a Democrat. And if it's, of course, a Republican, they'll mention it as a Republican.
But yeah, or they'll downplay it. Yeah, it's like you could have a story about I'm trying to think if they did this in this example or not. But like you had – I remember in Billings there was a former Democrat lawmaker that got busted driving a school bus drunk. And I can't remember if they used the party affiliation there or not. But of course, if a Republican traveling to Helena got a DUI, oh, it's all over. It's big news.
You know, I read some of the quotes from Chief Justice Swanson's swearing-in ceremony. I was very, you know, really impressed and frankly made me hopeful to hear Chief Justice Swanson say that he's really going to take it on as his job to defend the court, to defend the Montana Supreme Court, to uphold its independence and its impartiality, to rebuild its public respect. And we need that. I mean, we need a court that works. You know, we can't just, you know, throw the courts out.
And a court that's worthy of it as well. Not right. Just defend it just for the sake of defending it, but make it a court that's worthy of defending.
And that's what I wanted to hear from Chief Justice Swanson.
I think he's going to be very professional at his job. All right, Nancy's got a question for you next.
Securing America.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin convening a meeting of the multinational Ukraine Defense Contact Group for the final time during his tenure Thursday. A group which White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says benefits America because...
what happens to Ukraine, we very much believe, is in our national security interest.
Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh adds...
the UDCG has also been critical in bolstering Ukraine's defense capability and building a credible deterrence force.
The U.S. is expected to announce another $500 million in aid to Ukraine, leaving a little less than $4 billion in funds, which will roll over to the incoming Trump administration. Singh says DOD officials are not worried about aid ending because...
Ukraine has bipartisan support within Congress.
President-elect Trump has been critical of the money spent on Ukraine's behalf. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, what do you guys think? Would Montanans welcome Canada as the 51st state of the United States of America? Well, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got your answer. Plus, in the meantime, I wrote my answer. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see it right there. Plus, this is the first time in nearly 130 years that this has happened in Montana. What am I talking about? Well, you can find out. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got so much to talk about here with David Noble. And we got some great callers calling in here. So if you got a quick question or comment, we'll try to be quick because we got a lot of callers on the phone lines here. Nancy in Roundup, you've got a legal question for David with regard to the California fires. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, we know that there's been way too much government in California. California's been allowed to act like a sovereign nation within a sovereign nation. And I'm going to tell you about these fires. I want to ask David property rights. I think that the Supreme Court should intervene and start protecting the property rights of Californians. Like we're hearing about the snail darter fish, it's taking water away from the California farmers. Their rights are not protected. So I want to go into that direction. And I just think that, remember, that California has a tremendous homeless problem, and it's getting worse. And some of these fires may have accidentally been beset by homeless because, let's face it, even in the big cities, the homeless make fires in the alleys and drums and barrels and campfires.
Yeah, how did this thing start? I think I heard Paul Mushaben down the hall raising that similar question when I was filling up a cup of coffee here this morning. All right, number of different very good questions.
Yeah, so
there.
Couple of different things. Number one, I guess, there's this really strange legal doctrine called the public duty doctrine, which basically says government officials like policemen, firemen, they owe duties to the general public. They don't owe duties to any individual human. So They don't have an affirmative obligation to protect property or to protect life. If the firemen or the police, they have to make judgment calls on what they're going to do and what they're going to address. And there's old cases where, you know, somebody sued the police department or the fire department because they didn't do enough to stop an ongoing crime or to stop a fire. And the courts have just said, look, no, you can't do that. Look, they owe a duty to the public, not to you individually. They have to have discretion to make judgment decisions. And so there's that doctrine out there. People don't know that like the fire department and the police department don't actually have any kind of legal duty to you individually to do anything to you. It's kind of just a strange thing, of course. It's really a political issue because you want politicians in place that do a good job of managing the police department, things like that. So second would be, number one, states are sovereign in our system. We have a federal system where states are sovereign, and we want that. We want federalism. We want California to do what California wants to do. We want Montana to be able to do what Montana wants to do, right? That's the whole point of a federal system. However, there are federal constitutional rights that relate to property that the residents of California absolutely can, should, and I think do enforce in the federal courts. For example, you can't the state of California can't take a California resident's property without due process, without just compensation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where the federal
piece
would come. And
there's interstate commerce as well, which I think we've seen so many violations of interstate commerce, whether it's, you know, the leftist wackos in Washington against, you know, Crow Nation coal here in sovereign nation tribal country, right? Or whether it's California, you know, dictating what type of truck you have to drive to pick up stuff at our ports. And now they've dictated to every trucker across America what kind of truck you have to drive there for as well. So crazy stuff like that. Great. Yeah, great questions. Great follow up there, as always, from David. Next up, let's go to Cynthia in Red Lodge with another follow up question regarding overcrowded jails in Montana. Cynthia, great to hear from you.
Hey, hi, guys. Just wanted to chime in. Maybe you've already talked about this. I've only been listening for about a half hour. But when we were having the issue in Carbon County trying to get a new jail built, I had a very lengthy conversation with the gentleman who is the overseer of that Two Rivers Authority in Hardin.
Mm-hmm.
And his claim was, and this has been a few years, but his claim was that when Schweitzer was governor, that whole jail became a political issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Montana Association of Counties, which is the insurer of moving, they insure the people moving the prisoners and whatnot. They wouldn't insure them as a result, as I recall. It was either, that may have been the chicken or the egg. I don't know if they didn't do it as a result. But anyway, that became the issue. And his claim, the authorities
Two Rivers Authority's claim was that that jail is safe, and in fact, the BIA uses it, and half of it is populated with BIA prisoners.
Yeah, the BIA's got a, the last I checked, I'm assuming it's still in place right now, the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, is using that as a detention facility right now. They've got a contract for a portion of that facility. That's the last, yeah, because everybody has asked that question over the years, which is, hey, if we've got overcrowded jails, if we've got overcrowded prison, why aren't we using the Hardin Detention Facility? And Cynthia, you're exactly right. Big picture is, you know, Brian Schweitzer was governor at the time. I was actually working at the TV station, one of the TV stations in Billings, when all of that happened. So I was actually in one of the jail cells with Governor Schweitzer and the city attorney for Hardin and other news media folks, because we were there with the camera, watching him basically poke this lady in the chest from the city of Hardin, lecturing her about why he thought that the detention facility was a bad idea. And David, basically what it boiled down to was the Democrats have a philosophical opposition to privately run correctional facilities. They want more government employees. That's it. End of story. Who cares how many criminals get shoved back out on the streets in the meantime?
I just and their basis for that is Marxism or communism. I mean, there's no reason not to. It's like the private sector does everything better than the government. Why do you think we have the government when the government's going to build a road? Does the government get the bureaucrats out there build? No, they enter a contract with a private company to go build the road. The government can't do anything. If they want to get anything done, they literally have to go enter into a contract with a private company. So why is this any different?
Who's serving coffee at the national parks? Is it a government employee? No, it's a contracted company.
You start to wonder, what the heck do these government employees even do?
It's a self-licking ice cream cone, David. It's the self-licking ice cream cone. I want to get David's take, too. About 1 hour ago, we had a great legislative update from Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. Yesterday, I was piecing together a few different things, and I was trying to kind of give our listeners a sense of what took place in Helena with this rules fight in the state Senate. And I tried to give my two cents, and, you know, with my raspy voice, I was trying to, you know, muddle my way along through it. But man, Jeff Lasloffy, he's there. He's been there covering the session for so many years. He served as a House whip, I believe, himself. So he knows it. He's seen it firsthand. He had an incredible summary. Since I already teed it up, let's just get your take on that, David, before I go to our next caller. He basically made the point that, yeah, you've got 9 Republicans who teamed up with the Democrats to change the rules, especially when it comes to these executive committees. I do think there's a lot more at play here. This isn't just a rhinos versus the conservatives battle. I think there's more at play. But I just don't like it when Republican infighting, you know, slows progress and gets our eye off the ball.
Republicans are great at infighting and grinding things to a halt. And I, there's a whole bunch of things at play here. Number one, committee assignments. And some of these people were upset that they got vice chair instead of chair. And then there's that piece. And then there's the governor's bills and whether they're going to go to the top or the bottom and all of that.
And maybe the governor's nominees.
But the bottom line is these 9 senators straight up voted with the Democrats and have now grinded the thing to a halt and have put the Democrats in effective control of the Senate. And these senators are Jason Ellsworth, Butch Gillespie, Greg Hunter, Josh Kastmeyer, Gail Wammers, Denley Loge, Wendy McCamey, Russ Temple, and Shelley Vance. And those names were called out at the Republican Party meeting here in Yellowstone County last night. Everybody's encouraging folks to contact those senators and say, hey, you need to please play ball. We're trying to get stuff done. Quit throwing, you know, wrenches into the works here, please. You ground the system to a halt. You know, the leaders of the Montana Senate were elected by the people's elected representatives. We want them to be leaders. Quit voting with the Democrats, please. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, and like I say, I think there's more at play here because, you know, some of those names that you mentioned, like Shelley Vance, I mean, she's a great lawmaker, great conservative. I might disagree with her on this vote.
That's why I'm hoping
to just call her a rhino. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, because some people were doing
well,
that.
I think that's true. And so one other thought I had on the whole thing was, I'm hoping that this is like a one-off sort of petty thing, like, hey, we threw the wrench in the works because we didn't like you disrespected us or something. But hopefully it's a one-off thing and they come back in and they work together as a team up there and actually get stuff done, hopefully.
Well, and likewise, you know, on the flip side, there's some conservatives that want the legislature to push back or pull the governor in a certain direction one way or another as well. So they want to cause some problems for the governor. And then there's some moderates that want to cause some problems for the conservative leadership in the legislature. And look, there's going to be this natural tug of war. You and I both want to see things move in a more conservative direction. And have that tug of war, but also still figure out at the end of the day how to unite and then fight for that common agenda. I think they're going to be able to figure it out. But you're right. As Jeff Leslie pointed out, they brought this whole thing to a halt. The House heard 21 bills in one day, and the state Senate is at a
They're still fighting over trying to undo the rules and redo the rules this morning. They can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get an update later on from the Senate president in the 9 o'clock hour, so that's going to be one you want to tune in for sure. Back to your calls next.
Fox News commentary.
The Lake and Riley Act, a bill requiring the feds to detain illegals who commit theft-related crimes, passed the House, but why did 159 Democrats vote against it? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The House is off to a good start with the passage of the Lake and Riley Act, a bill that would require the detention of illegals who commit theft and allows states to sue the federal government on behalf of their citizens for not enforcing border laws, especially those regarding parole. I'm happy it passed the House 264 to 159, but why did 159 Democrats vote against it? Bravo to the electorally vulnerable Democrats, all 48 of them who voted for it this time, likely not out of the goodness of their hearts, but to save themselves for the next election. In case it's not clear, the reason this is named after Lake and Riley is because the illegal convicted in her murder had previously been arrested for other crimes but not held by ICE, thus allowing him the leeway to fly to Georgia and murder Lake and Riley. 159 Democrats don't seem too rattled by that, which tells you everything you need to know. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Fox stands united with Love One Louisiana in support of the victims and families impacted by the New Year's Day French Quarter terrorist attack. Visit go.fox/NOLA to support. That's go.fox/NOLA.
They've got snow angels in Bozeman and snow buddies in Billings. Great way to help senior citizens in need with all that snow. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness in portions of the area early today, otherwise looking at sunny skies. High temperature readings will stay for the mid-upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures will head back down to the mid-teens. Then on Friday, with partial sun and some increasing cloudiness, high temperatures staying back in the mid to upper 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, what do you guys think? Would Montanans welcome Canada as the 51st state of the United States of America? Well, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got your answer. Plus, in the meantime, I wrote my answer. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see it right there. Plus, this is the first time in nearly 130 years that this has happened in Montana. What am I talking about? Well, you can find out. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Without question, one of the greatest scenes in Washington, D.C. when a big snowstorm hits is for kids to go sledding on Capitol Hill, right in front of the U.S. Capitol. This is a custom which dates back as long as there's been a Capitol, a hill, sleds, snow, and kids. The biggest snowstorm in 3 years coated the Washington, D.C. region with a foot of snow on January 6th. It was one of the best opportunities D.C. area kids have had to go sledding at the Capitol in years. But there was one problem. The snow fell on January 6th. This was the anniversary of one of the most ignominious days in American history, the riot at the Capitol in 2021. And this year, it was the day that lawmakers would meet in a joint session of Congress to certify the Electoral College results. Congressional security officials erected a massive barricade around the Capitol days ago. They deemed the day a national security event, like the Super Bowl or the Olympics, and closed off the Capitol grounds to anyone except those who had to be there for the Speaker's Lobby. Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, man, the time is flying by. We've only got a quick few minutes left here. Let's sneak in another quick caller. We've got, let's see. Oh, Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, this has to go to David Noble, and good morning. But, you know, Juan Marchand is, he's abusing his power, and people don't understand this. Donald Trump is not a convicted felon. The liberal news media is doing this. You know, it, the term convicted felon doesn't legally apply until you've been sentenced.
That's right. Which is why
it was a requirement for all appeals of a conviction.
Which is exactly why Judge Juan Marchand is moving up the sentencing now before Trump is sworn in as president, because he and the left-wing media wants to be able to call him a convicted felon for his inauguration. Great point, but there by Tom and Billings. Since we're short on time, David Noble, your thoughts.
So a couple of things. Number one, I don't know anything about criminal law. I've never handled a criminal case in my life on either side of it. Won't touch it ever. Don't know a thing about it. Okay, but number two, Donald Trump, I guess, has filed a request with the U.S. Supreme Court to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to stop Juan Marchand's sentencing. I hope he wins that one. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is also in an ongoing civil lawsuit against the United States. There is a pending lawsuit, Donald J. Trump versus the United States of America. Because guess what? The United States of America under Donald Trump and Merrick Garland and Jack Smith, they wronged Donald Trump. So how funny is that, that Donald Trump's going to be the president of the United States, and yet he's going to be suing the United States in his personal capacity?
Oh, man, it's so crazy.
I don't know if you know this, but 80 to 90% of all lawsuits worldwide are filed in the United States.
Oh, really?
90% of all lawsuits worldwide, they're filed here.
Crazy. Those stinking lawyers. One show, I'm going to just have a bunch of lawyer jokes lined up for you. I'm going to go down.
No, it's actually a good thing, because it means that we have a functioning and effective judicial system. It means we have a culture where we believe in enforcing your legal rights.
Hey, I had some great messages that came in last hour of the show. I apologize. I'm just now getting to these. But we were, you know, talking a lot about Los Angeles and the disastrous environmental wacko policies that cause, you know, what's happening right now. Jeff in Victor says this: California saved the smelt. Last I heard, smelt being fish need water. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You store the water, you have the water for the fish. You spill it all in the ocean, you don't have the water for the fish either.
I never understood it. Like, there's something going on there where apparently, like, you need less water for the smelt to survive. I don't know if they can only survive in, like, shallow water, or I don't know what the deal is with that.
Yeah. And then Morgan and Helena raised a really good question. Because, you know, you think about it. Montana's carbon footprint, if you care about that sort of thing, is like nothing. It's negligible, right? In global greenhouse carbon or whatever crap you want to talk about. California is massive, even without these massive fires that are going on right now. So Morgan says this: are the climate kids who filed suit against the state of Montana, are they going to sue California because of the fires?
Hey, there you go.
Or you could add the Biden administration. Will they sue? Of course,
right.
They won't.
Right.
They're the radical environment. They're parents of the radical environmentalists who supported the crap that's causing these fires in L.A. and elsewhere anyway.
Right. How egregious.
We should sue them.
Well, really, I mean, you honestly, of course, the funny thing is of course, there are certain issues where the solution is political, right? And this is one of them. You got to get, is anybody going to want to live in California anymore? By the way, private.
Yeah, if you didn't flee already.
Right.
Man.
Well, and so then, I mean, a lot of the, like, in those hills around L.A., they're really, really narrow streets, and there's a bunch of cars. You can't, even under a normal situation, if your house starts on fire, the police department or the fire department can barely get there to help.
Yeah, and the traffic sucks too. Evacuate. I heard somebody say they had a 4 mile long line of cars just to get out of their neighborhood. It's miraculous they even got out of there. By the way, our buddy David Spady, who's with Salem Communications, he lives in Bozeman. And then also goes back and forth to L.A., where Salem Communications is headquartered.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.